Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Wednesday, July the 13th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour. 64 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. Could you ask for any better morning? I think not, as we kick off this Wednesday. Do want to remind everybody, we've got a full day of programming today. I'll be on till 10 o'clock this morning. Then I'll be on with Glenn Coble from 10:15 until 12 noon. Then we've got a Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Then we've got Live at 5, the show with no name, back in the studio today with Pastor Craig, Nate Redman, and Terry Tackett. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon tonight at 6:15. So it's a full day here on WWGH Radio. And do want to remind everybody, you can listen over the air at 107.1 FM, or you can download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and search WWGH, or you can go to the website WWGH1071.com and stream us anywhere in the world. All free options of how to listen to this station. Also, on the website, we have archived programs dating back to January of 2016 for most of our programs. So don't forget to check out the website. It is absolutely free to listen and archived programs dating back to January of 2016. I don't think anybody in Marion has an archive like that of complete programs. And again, the TuneIn app, which is absolutely free. I know many people listen outside the Marion area using the TuneIn app, and many people listen while they're at work using the TuneIn app, which I have heard many times. So that's how you listen to WWGH Radio. Now, our first hour this morning is going to be a very interesting conversation. It's a conversation we've had in part before, but there have been new developments in regard to Marion becoming a charter city. Now, the person who started the talk of this this current time around was Pastor Brett Cornelius during his run for city council last fall. He did win a seat on city council last fall, and since then, Brett has been on, and people have come to Marion to talk about this, and it's been an ongoing project of his, I know, and there were some new developments Monday night during city council in regard to this, and Brett wanted to come on and update us, and we have a few questions as well, so it's always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones Pastor Brett Cornelius. Pastor, how are you?
All right, Scott, how are you?
Doing well. So, Monday night, what were the new developments in regard to a charter city?
Well, we passed an ordinance. There's an ad hoc committee. We started an ad hoc committee shortly after I was elected. There are five members, Mike Thomas, Kai Neath, who has announced Monday night that he was moving out of the city and will be vacating his seat in the first ward. But he was on our ad hoc committee, Aaron Rollins, Mike Neff, and myself. So there were three of us there on Monday night. We had been looking at this ordinance. We got some feedback from the law director and some suggestions on corrections. But we've been looking at this ordinance, and we finally got it out of committee on Monday night, which means it now goes to the full council, and the full council will have a chance to vote up or down for putting the ordinance on the ballot in November.
Now we've talked about the process of a charter city in the past. Take people through, obviously the first step has been done, But what would be the full process of this actually coming to fruition?
Okay. So first of all, I want to remind everybody what a charter is. A charter would essentially be a city constitution. It tells the city how the government will run, what it will be able to do, what it won't be able to do. Right now, as a statutory city, that's the status for Marion. I think less than half of the cities in Ohio are still statutory cities. Many cities are adopting these charters because it just makes more sense for local control. But right now, the state tells our local government how to run. If we have a charter, essentially what happens is the voters of Marion will get to decide and vote on how the city government functions. With this process of the charter, it's all laid out in the Ohio Constitution, which you can find online, very easy. It's laid out in Article 18, and especially, I think it's either Section 7 or 8, and they're very short sections, very easy to read. This section on adopting the city charter is only 4 or 5 paragraphs. But it gives you the whole story on how it's done. So now that we're taking it before council will vote on it, whether or not to put it on the ballot. When it gets put on the ballot in November, then people will have on the ballot a 2-part question. And the first part of the question will be, should we have a city charter commission? And what this commission does is it actually forms the charter itself. They have up to a year to form the charter. And practically speaking, they have about 8 or 9 months to form the charter. And then that charter will be sent. So the constitution, city constitution, would be sent out to all the voters in Marion. So everybody would have a copy of the charter in their hands. And then next November, so November 23, the city would decide whether or not to adopt the charter that the Charter Commission came up with. So the first part of the question is, shall we have a Charter Commission? And then the second part of the question is, who shall we put on? And then that's going to be decided by, essentially what it is, people who are interested in serving on this charter commission, once we get the ordinance passed out of city council, people who are interested in serving on this commission would go up and pull a petition from the Board of Elections. And they would circulate the petition. It's a very low bar for getting your name on the ballot. You have to have between 25 and 50 signatures. So practically speaking, 35, 40 signatures from fellow citizens. It's a nonpartisan office, so you don't have to run as a Republican or run as a Democrat. And so you get the petitions, turn them back into the Board of Elections, and then your name would appear on the ballot, and you would be part of the Charter Commission.
Now, at this point, is there still time to get this on the November ballot, should it pass city council?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The deadline for getting on the ballot and getting names submitted would be August 10th.
Now, that's less than a month away. Does it have to have 3 readings and all of that sort of thing?
Well, that's one of the things we're discussing. We're going to be discussing in city council. There's a lot of ordinances and resolutions passed by city council, mostly to do with funds needed for the various departments. But there's a lot of ordinances that get passed without the 3 readings. So essentially what happens when you want to do that is you suspend the rules. And then city council votes on what, so you get a motion to suspend the rules, you get a second, and then city council votes on whether or not to suspend the rules. If you suspend the rules, that means you don't have to go through the three readings, and you can have a vote by the city council.
Now, interestingly enough, just because the timeline is so short, the next time city council will meet will be next Monday, I believe, and that would be the 18th, and this would have to be done by the 10th, I think you said, of August. Now, if it was passed on the 8th...
Let me give you a little correction there.
Okay.
This coming Monday, the 18th, is a committee meeting.
Oh, okay. So no open city council.
Well, unless we call a meeting after the committee meetings.
So the next city council, unless one is called, would be July 25th.
Yes.
Okay. So July 25th is just a few days before August the 10th. Let's say the rules were suspended. Now, if the rules are suspended, can you vote that night, or do you have to wait until the next meeting?
No, if the rules are suspended, you can vote that night.
Okay, so if the rules are suspended and it is passed on the 25th, to get these names of people who want to be on the ballot on the charter committee, that only gives them about 15 days.
Yes, or, so here's the other option, is that we call a special council meeting on this coming Monday, the 18th. We have a reading. On the 25th, we'll have another city council meeting, a full council meeting, and then we'll have another reading, and then we wait until, August 1st would be usually be a committee meeting night. We call another special council meeting then, have the third reading, and then vote. Now, what we would do is the clerk would probably walk the ordinance over to the Board of Elections that next day, and then people could pull petitions. Now, there was a woman that I was trying to get on the board of school board, and we pulled a petition for her. We pulled petitions for her 48 hours before she had to have these petitions turned in, and I collected 141 signatures for her in 46 hours. So it's a pretty low bar. So if somebody would come up on, say, August the 3rd or August the 4th even, and they went out to their friends and neighbors, you don't have to have, like, when I ran for city council and I was running as a Republican, I could only get Republican signatures. Same way with Democrats. If you ran as a Democrat, you could only get Democrat signatures. With a nonpartisan office, you don't have to worry about whether they're Republican or Democrat. So a person could come up on the August the 3rd or August the 4th, and I'm not sure what that date is. August 3rd might be Saturday when they'd be closed. But you could come up, pull a petition, and you could probably, anyone who desired to be on the ballot, could probably get those signatures done in a day or two. So the bar for who gets on the ballot is pretty low. Signatures is a pretty low threshold.
Are there a certain number of people who have to be on the commission?
Yes. We have to have 15... commission members. So there could be, presumably there could be a list of 25 or 30 names on the second part of the ballot question, but you would vote for 15.
Well, and just from the other perspective of this, because of the time crunch of August the 10th, if it did pass city council on, let's say, August the 1st, and 15 people did not sign up be on the ballot, does it become null and void?
That's a good question. I would say the thing to do, and one of the reasons I wanted to come on today, was to make people aware of specifically that fact. so that we do have interested parties that would like to be part of the commission and are considering it now and thinking about it. Ideally, here's what I think, Scott. Ideally, we wouldn't wait for a third reading August 1st. Ideally, maybe we would have a reading this coming Monday on the 18th if we decide to call a special council meeting. And then on the 25th, we would vote, and then that would give an additional week, another 7 days, for people to get up there and get their petitions.
Now, the qualifications for somebody to be on this commission, are there any other qualifications except living in the city?
Well, you have to be, you have to live in the city, and you have to be an elector. So you have to be a registered voter.
Registered voter.
If you're a registered voter and you live in the city, you're not on city council, by the way.
So we did figure that out. Yeah, you cannot be on city council.
Right. You can't be on city council and be on the commission. So I would be ineligible. The other council members would be ineligible to run for this commission. But if you're living in the city and you're a registered voter, then you are eligible to run for this charter commission.
Now, Monday, there were five people on this committee that sent this to city council. And you said two of the people were absent. So I'm guessing that all three who showed up would have had to have voted to do that, to send it to council, or there wouldn't have been a majority.
Well, I'm not sure all three did. So all three of us, it was a 3-0 vote. So yeah, if the other two had been there and they had been opposed, then it would have been 3-2. It still would have passed.
Right. Now, who were the people who voted for it?
On the
committee,
ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
Mike Neff, myself, and Kai Mead from the first ward. Mike Neff is from the sixth ward. Kai Mead from the first ward. I'm at large.
Okay. Now, if this does get on the ballot, one of the problems I think people will have is what is a charter city? How does that word, aside from media, get out to the public for the need for this to be something people want to vote for?
Right. Well, you know, I think I may have talked to you about this before. I kind of made this a staple of my campaign. So, whenever I knocked on a door or talked to somebody, most people didn't know what the charter was. You know, it's not something that's broadly thought of. In other cities it is, but so when I would explain to people what a charter is and what the value of a charter is, almost everybody, Scott, almost nobody said, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Almost everybody said, yes, that makes sense, because it gives the voters more control over how their city functions.
Now,
it's essentially a city constitution. You know, we have a federal constitution. Everybody knows that. We had to learn it in school. You have a state constitution, which probably less people are familiar with. Not as many people are familiar with the content of our state constitution. But this would give us a city constitution. What a city charter is, it's a we the people moment.
Well, and maybe getting it past council, that might be doable. Getting it on the ballot this time might be doable. But I think where the problem would be with this is when these 15 people came up with, just the way society is now, these 15 people come up with what the charter is. When you put a charter together, there's a lot of things in there. And right now it's hard to get any group of people to agree on anything without finding something they don't like in there to
right.
vote it down. So it would seem to me that once the charter's presented, which we don't even know what that would be now, that would be based on 15 people's opinions and thoughts, November of 2023, that would be a much more difficult vote than even explaining what a charter is.
Yes. Well, here's the thing that we have to remember. If somebody runs for the commission, by the way, and they have maybe some definite ideas about what they think a city charter should look like. For instance, some people think there should be a strong mayor. Some people think there should be a city manager. Some people think there should be some kind of hybrid. And I imagine that even on the charter commission, there's going to be a robust debate about how we're going to structure this. Number one, all those meetings are going to be open to the public. So people can come, even if you're not on the commission, you can come, you can give your ideas, you can listen to what the commission is saying and the ideas they're floating past each other, and you can step up and give your opinion on those things. But what everybody has to remember is, even if we come out with maybe not the charter that you would have come up with or that you understand or you think is right, the nice thing about the charter is once it's in place, it can be amended. So, for instance, if we start off the charter with a mayor, a strong mayor, and then somebody comes along and says, we should give the city manager model a try. Then all you have to do is, let's say somebody who's really interested in having a city manager because they think it's a more efficient way of doing business, they could come to city council, depending on how the charter's written, they could come to city council and remember, and this is the beautiful thing about a city charter, right now the structure of government is decided by the General Assembly in Columbus. Well, how many representatives do you have in the General Assembly? You have a state senator and you have a state representative, and you share those representatives and the state senator with a few other counties. So your influence in what happens in Columbus and the General Assembly is pretty small. But if you had an idea about how you wanted city government to go, you could come to city council and share your ideas. And the nice thing about this is, even now with our present structure, if we kept this present structure, there's 3 at-large council members and 6 ward council members out of the 9. So you would personally be voting on 4 of the 9. That means 4 of those 9 council members are accountable to you on election day. So when you come up and share your ideas, it's going to mean a lot more than if you were to try to share ideas with the General Assembly. So let's say, going back to this amendment process, let's say you thought there was a better, more efficient way of running city government, and you came with your idea to city council, and since we would have a charter in place, you say, I would like to see this happen with city government. Then city council could, come up with your idea, develop your idea, vote on it, and put it on the ballot. And so you can have various amendments going to the ballot, and the people would vote whether to ratify the amendments. And that's happened with several cities. The city of Galleon, for instance, for a while it had a city manager. And for one reason or another, people decided in Galleon that they wanted the person who was running the administration of the city to be accountable to them as well as accountable to the council. So they kind of shucked the city manager model with a vote on the ballot and went back to a mayor model of government. So what I'm saying is, another thing that this city charter does is it makes government flexible and gives you a greater input on what happens in city government.
So at this point, with the limited time left before August the 10th, do you see a special city council meeting being called this coming Monday, the 18th?
Well, that's what we're... That's what I'm kind of thinking now. You know, it would have to be three city council members that would call this special council meeting. So I couldn't do it alone. But if I, you know, if, for instance, Ty Mead right now, because he's not leaving office until Friday, or Mike or Aaron or Mike Thomas, or any one of the members that's not on the ad hoc committee, Josh Feliciano, for instance. So if three of us said, yes, we're going to call a special council meeting for Monday, then we could notify, you know, all you need is 24-hour notice, and notify the clerk and let her know to send out the notices, and then you could have a special council meeting on Monday, have a first reading, and then maybe at the second reading you could suspend the rules and vote on the charter ballot.
Now, do you think there are the votes at this point not only to call a special meeting, but to suspend the rules? How many votes would you need to suspend the rules?
Well, if you have the votes to pass the charter, then you'll have the votes to suspend the rules, I think. So anybody who's probably in favor of the charter and wants to give the people a little more time to you know, go out and get their petition signed, then they would probably be in favor of suspending the rules.
Now,
oftentimes, by the way, you get people who vote to suspend the rules and then vote no.
Well, this is...
they want to get... Yeah.
Well, this is an interesting point because of the time schedule of this and the fact that Kai Mead, one of the people who just voted yes on sending this to council, will not be there to vote for it because he will be gone on Friday, July 15th. So
right.
There will be no first ward council person when this
That's right.
All be going down because the Democrats will have to have a meeting to fill that seat at some point.
Right.
And they have it. So now there's one less council person to vote, and as you just said, this past Monday two council people were absent, so can you take a vote like that when you're going to have no first ward council person? And I've been hearing and looking at the records, there seems to be a problem with council people showing up all the time.
I think for the most part that's not true. I think most of the council members are there on city council night. There are exceptions. If a council member had a scheduled vacation, for instance, or they get exposed to COVID, for instance, and they have to call in and say, you know, I'm not able to come. So those things have happened. But I think for the most part, you have full council there usually when almost always the council members are there. They can be compelled to come. You know, the police can go and pick them up and bring them to a city council. I think it's part of the rules of city council.
Well, in on that note, does full city council have to be present to suspend the rules and vote for this charter?
Technically, no. But you need two-thirds of city council. So I would say...
More than a majority.
Whether or not,
More than a majority.
Yeah, more than a majority. Right, so the state constitution calls for two-thirds, a two-thirds majority. So let's say you didn't have the eight people there, because Kai's going to be gone, of course. So you didn't have the eight people there. You're still going to need six votes.
Six of the eight.
Yeah, you're going to need six of the eight, which would mean, in that case, would be 75%. But you can't, you know, unless, and I doubt this would happen, you know, let's say six people showed up, I guess maybe at that point four could be a two-thirds majority. I'm not sure if that's the case. All I'm counting on is getting those six votes.
Now, do you think you have all the votes on city council except two people at this point to put it on the ballot?
Yeah, I think we got a little bit of an uphill battle.
That's to me that I would the way city council's been going on issues, that's a very high bar to have everybody but two agree to do this.
Right. It's going to be tough, but I think if we make good arguments and we here's what I think, and this would be my argument. I'm going to kind of show the cards in my hand on air before we bring it to city council. But here would be my argument. What we're voting on is whether or not to let the voters decide how city government is run. And I think if you would vote no on that proposition, I think you would have to show why. You know, it should be on you to show or to tell why you don't think city voters should have a chance or a say in how their government is run.
Now, I'll tell you something interesting. You were there for our candidates night last year, and one of the people on your committee, Mike Thomas, pretty much spoke out against a charter city during that debate. Now, he is a councilman. Do you think he's come around to the idea of this?
I'm not real positive that Mike would vote yes. I don't think he will. But, you know, here's the thing. Mike is a very strong union guy, you know, and which I'm pro-union myself. I think unions serve a good function in society. But Mike, I think Mike believes, and this may have been the case when this happened back in 78. Remember, Mike's been in city government for a long time. He was on city council back in the late 70s and early 80s. But he was there, I think, at a time when the people who proposed the charter back then were mostly business interests. And I think he believed that a city charter would be crafted by business interest rather than by the people. I sympathize with that concern. I think, you know, it shouldn't be one segment of the city that decides how the city runs. We don't want just the business interest of the community deciding how the government runs. You want a broad spectrum of people and walks of life who are going to think about the concerns of their, you know, think about their concerns as they go into this.
That's very interesting, because if as you just said, if you feel that you have lost Mike, you can only lose one more person.
That's right.
So that we're down to one at this point.
So we got an uphill climb, especially because Kai, who was very much in favor, and of course, you know, people have asked, you know, is this a Republican initiative? Is this a Democrat initiative? This is actually a nonpartisan initiative. This is this is something that and Kai really the nice thing about Kai was it made this effort bipartisan. So we're going to have either Mr. Ratliff or Mr. Schauber. You're going to have Mr. Ratliff, Mr. Schauber, and Mr. Feliciano. I think Mrs. Fasnacht is in favor of it. She has some concerns too, but I think she wants to let the voters decide. You know, she's not going to stand in the way of the voters themselves making this decision. But so we have to get two of those three pulled over, and that would give us the six that we need to get it through city council.
Now, it would seem to me that the trouble right there would be with heirs. And if you lose heirs and you've lost Mike, that would be the end.
Well, so if we had six, so let's say heirs and Mike, and I'm not certain that heirs would, heirs hasn't said to me he hasn't expressed anything to me about whether he's pro or con for the city charter. So I don't know where he stands. But if we lost Mike and Ayers, for instance, or we lost Mike and by the way, I'm going to try to get Mike Thomas.
Right, right.
I'm going to try to argue with Mike Thomas and bring him around. But if we lost Mike Thomas and Ayers Ratliff, or we lost Mike Thomas and Jason Schauber, or Mike Thomas and Josh, yes, we'd have to have those other two. We'd have to have. So I know that Aaron Rollins is in favor. I know that Mike Neff is in favor. I know I'm in favor, and I'm just about positive. Mrs. Falsnaw is in favor. So we got to have, you know, a combination of those other three that are left. We have to have, well, the other three. The other three. Yeah, so we have to have two of those other three. So now, since Kai left, it kind of throws the math off a little bit. But we'll have to have six. So if we have four already, we got to get two more.
Right, and I guess the other wild card in that would be, and I'm not saying, I'm not speaking for anybody, but I would think at this point would be Mr. Schauber, who has not voted, because as much as you say this isn't a party issue, if we look at the votes there of what we've talked about this morning, it looks like a party issue.
Yeah, except we don't have enthusiasm from both Schauber and Feliciano have a lot of questions about whether this is needed or not. So we have two Republicans that have questioned the need for a city charter. And we had one Democrat who was in favor of the city charter. So I think it's pretty bipartisan myself.
So just to make things clear again, you would have to have six votes. You could only lose two, but if you lost three, that would be the end of it.
That would be the end of it.
Okay. Now the other question, because we have about 10 minutes left here, because interestingly enough, the mayor comes on once a month, and he was on on June the 28th. And this came up. This was actually something he brought up, I believe, during that interview, and people can go back and listen to it. But he did not say he would, and this becomes an interesting point with the short time frame that we have for getting this on the ballot on August the 10th. The mayor could veto this. Now, he did not say that he was going to veto this, but he has vetoed things in the past, like most famously the Aquatic Center. And I don't think there would be enough time to overturn his veto if he did that before August the 10th, even if you had the votes to do it. And he, again, I want to make it very clear, he did not say he was going to veto it, but he said he had some major concerns about it.
Yeah. If we get to the two-thirds bar, if we get to the six votes, then the mayor can't veto it, because a six-vote majority would override a mayoral veto. And if we don't have the six votes, it's not going to pass anyway.
Now in that process, if you vote to put it on the ballot, so he can't put a veto in at that point at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
If we have six votes, it passes.
Okay. So there's no way that he could stop it at that point?
No.
Okay. Well, now could he stop it if he before the vote?
No. It's a decision of city council. But listen, I don't want to be antagonistic to the mayor. I'm hoping that the mayor will support the idea that once the process gets started, that the mayor is going to, help facilitate it. We're going to need the mayor, whether or not we need the mayor for voting purposes, we still need the mayor, because the mayor has a lot of influence in the city. The mayor can be a big help in promoting this. I want the mayor's support.
Well, here's what, with our 8 minutes, because I do want to bring this up, and maybe this speaks to what you're about to say.
Okay.
What the mayor said, and again, this is a paraphrase, this is not a quote, I don't have the interview in front of me, but
sure.
his problem, because he said he was never against a charter city, but what has become the problem in his mind yet is he has yet to hear, as of June the 28th, why we need one. What are the reasons, what is wrong with what we have and why we need one? He said he had not heard that as of June 28th.
Okay, so when you talk about why a city charter is needed, what you want to be careful to do is not to assume too much about what this commission will come up with. So let's say somebody wants a city charter. Well, when we get the commission, we don't know if it's, a city manager. If we get that commission may decide we're going to stay with a strong mayor. And so so there's a lot of reasons why, depending on what they come up with, it could be good or bad. But here's my reasons. The charter, and this is one of the things I spoke with, the essence of self-government is that the people rule the government, not vice versa. So right now, the state government tells the local government how to run. With a charter, it would be the people of Marion that would be deciding how the government runs. So I would say the first argument is that this establishes a greater degree of self-government in the city of Marion. And the second reason is getting people involved in this debate is going to be a good thing. We're not asking anyone to decide whether Marion needs a charter or not. What we're asking for is the opportunity for people to decide if they want to have this debate. So there could be, depending on what the commission comes up with, a lot of good reasons. When we talked to Gary Hunter at the Ohio Metropolitan League, and there's another fellow at the Ohio Metropolitan League that I've been talking to, another lawyer from the Metropolitan League. Ohio Metropolitan League is this organization that helps cities get charters. So a charter has economic advantages because once corporations know that the local government has a little greater control over their destiny, it gives that city an advantage when you're trying to develop economic advantages. There's also advantages in court. And we've had some disputes with our local court in the budget process. In fact, we've gone all the way to, this is before I came in, they went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the city council lost, and so if you have a charter, the courts show greater favor to cities that have charters in their disputes with various people. So that's another advantage. And then there's all these, remember the last year when we had the big dispute over a city auditor and what the city auditor was doing. And a couple of the reasons that people thought that a charter would help is right now, according to the statutory city, we have to elect a city auditor. And that city auditor, his main qualification is, or he or she, is a good politician and able to run and get people to vote for him. Well, if you had a city charter where the auditor wasn't elected, but the auditor was hired and they had certain qualifications that they had to fulfill, then you wouldn't have that dispute. You'd have a qualified person, for instance, to do that job. I'm not saying any past city auditor wasn't qualified. That's not my point. My point is that the people would have a greater control over who gets in key positions like that?
Well, with about 2 minutes left to go, and it's a fascinating conversation, I just want to bring up the other point that the mayor had said, because as you laid out the points why you think there should be a charter city, you would like the mayor to be on your side here and use his support, and if he would support this would be good. He also said during that interview that nobody has come to him to talk about it, that it's not... Those conversations have not happened, and he's not sure why that is.
Well, okay. First, the mayor has been there for all the committee meetings. So he's heard the conversations, but I will say this. I just got elected I just took office in January. And I've made some mistakes, and I really wish I had been more communicative with the mayor. I wish I had got him more on my side. And in fact, I do have an appointment scheduled with the mayor to go talk to him, and I imagine that we're going to be talking about some of these issues. But, it's just like, kind of how the ad hoc committee progressed. We had a lot of stumbles, we had a lot of falls. This was I know Aaron Rollins and I are brand new to council, and so there's kind of a learning curve, and so I wish I had communicated better with the mayor. I should have done it. I should have been communicating better with the law director. But we had legal advice from various other sources, and I wasn't looking at the mayor and the law director as experts on adopting the city charter. But that was a mistake. Because the process of getting these things through council would have probably been a lot better facilitated if I had been having more conversations with the mayor and the law director. So that was my fault. That's something I did wrong. And I'm going to try as much as I can to rectify that and get the mayor and the law director on board, get everybody enthusiastic about something that could really be good for Marion. I think Eber Baker came to Marion in 200 years ago, 1822, and in all that time, we've never had a We the People moment in Marion. And this is a moment when we can have that We the People moment.
In our parting moments here, I want to get two things in. Why is it? Because, as much as people say things aren't partisan, when you look at the votes of things coming out of city council at this point, aside from Jason Schauber, it doesn't seem like anybody is crossing any type of a line when it comes to Republican Democrat. Now, maybe that's not premeditated, but yeah. It is that way. And why is
that? Well, I think it may be perceived that way. I think about 90... You wouldn't believe, Scott, how many of the resolutions that come to city council are passed by a unanimous vote. So there's a lot of issues in the city that there's not a Republican and Democrat divide. There may be some... there was kind of a bad dispute between the parties last year. There's a lot of vitriol being tossed back and forth. We need to get over that, and we need to have a more unified council. We don't have divisions that we have in the national parties between Republicans and Democrats. Those kind of issues, abortion, for instance, or Second Amendment rights, those kind of hot-button issues, those aren't local issues. And so there's no reason that we can't all get along, because what we're voting for is the benefit of Marion, not the benefit of our party.
Well, and I think that's the way it used to be, but early, and not just the auditor situation of last year, but with the new council, when the new council came in, the issue of approving the contracts for a certain portion of city employees, it was my understanding, based upon a COVID shot bonus, seemed to be a party line vote as well.
Well, okay, now, yes, there was some arguments over that. But I think, things like bodily autonomy are pretty important reasons to draw a line. Now, that, by the way, that wasn't just Republicans. Ayers Ratliff did not want a mandate to have people take the vaccines. Ty Mead did not want a mandate to have the mayor. The mayor did not insist on a vaccine mandate. So even that issue.
But now, you know, Brett, but it's my understanding, and we had the mayor on during that time, it wasn't a mandate. It was that if you had gotten the vaccination, or if you get it on your own free will, you right. would get a bonus. It wasn't telling people to get it.
Yeah. So here's why I thought, and I voted no on that, and here's why I thought that was unfair. Because let's say you work on the garbage truck, and you do the garbage collection in the city, and you're doing the same work. The vaccinated person and the unvaccinated person are doing the exact same work. Why are we giving $1,000 more to the vaccinated person when they're doing the same work as the unvaccinated person? That was my issue.
Well, and the interesting thing, as you say, Ayers had questions about it, Ky Mead had questions about it, but yet that ended up passing because city council couldn't come to a vote on it, and Ayers Ratliff was the one who pointed out that this is going to lapse into passing because we can't vote on it, so he knew that it was going to pass. But something you say he had reservations about.
Yeah. I think, listen, I would love to come back on and talk to you about that. That is an interesting issue. And the process of how that went through by default is also an interesting issue. By the way, and that's one thing that a charter could solve, was how the process happened and how that all went through. I would love to talk about that. You know, there was some good debate about that. And by the way, that's another, you know, I mean, a healthy debate in city council is a good thing.
And we should, I just want to let people know as we run out of time here that, so basically people should come to council meetings, committee meetings to see, because there could possibly be a council meeting this coming Monday, if the votes are there. There could be a suspension of rules if the votes are there in regard to a charter city. So the vote could technically happen Monday if the votes are there, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's likely that it would happen Monday, but there would be a reading on Monday.
Okay. Well, Brett, I thank you for coming on, and again, anytime you want any time, just let us know.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Pastor Brett Cornelius, City Councilman at Large. Interesting conversation. Back in 15 minutes. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1.